Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
I'm playing a little keyboard for you this morning. Hope you don't mind. I'm taking a couple lessons. Hope you like it.
It is a pleasure to welcome my old friend Nick Zitzen back, Senior Vice President and Head of Communications for the Office of the CEO at SAP. You got your Microsoft, you got your Oracle, you got your SAP. I mean, it's as big as it gets. Good morning, Nick.
You know, with that musical intro, I don't know if I should pour myself a glass of wine before we talk.
And when you know my lounge act. You know how I do. You know how I do. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's great to hear your voice.
Nice to talk to you again. And by the way, family, Nick Zitzen's wife, Wally Phillips' daughter. How about that?
Oh, wow.
How about that? So there you go.
You know, I got to tell you, when I lived in Chicago for 5 years, it was the ultimate icebreaker. You ever listen to WGN radio and people would say, yeah. And I'd say, oh, you know, my father-in-law used to host. Oh, yeah, what's his name? Maybe I've heard of him. Wally Phillips. No way.
Yeah. Wow. Maybe I've heard of him. All right, listen, you're one of the smartest guys I know, and I'm the big brother you never asked for. And we used to have great conversations about politics all the time, but we haven't talked in a little while. And the turn in this country is so disturbing to me. My strong feelings for Trump. But aside from that, we're just at each other's throats. Has that gotten to the business level yet?
I think, to be honest with you, Steve, the business level is expecting it now. It's almost built into the fabric of how business is run in this country. Frankly, I wish more of it would build into how we live life day to day, where it's just tune out what you can and wait until there's actually something material to deal with. Look, if you look at China and the U.S. as an example, I mean, every time our company is asked any question by any journalist in any country, it's about, will China and the U.S. bring down the global economy? And, you know, the answer is always, probably not. You know, it's a lot of noise. It'll probably work itself out, but it's really hard to watch.
Right, and the idea that answer couldn't be absolutely not is sort of disturbing in its own right.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, these days you can't rule out the absolute extreme. As you and I have always discussed, at the end of the day, while it's frustrating that more of the right-minded people in the world who just see things in a fair and balanced way, they come out eventually. Mm-hmm. I think the system gets absolutely horrid when they don't come out at all. But when things really need to level off, those people come out. You see it reflected in when public opinion polls shift. You see it in change elections. I mean, there is still a powerful force in this country and around the world that waits until it's called in. I wish they would call in more.
Well, but I never thought I'd see the day where the Republican Party abdicated all of its history and authority and just went away and hid behind a guy who was nothing more than a reality TV star who backed into the White House.
But, you know, my opinion on this has changed just a bit. And I'm still with you on the fundamentals about the president in terms of, will I raise my daughters to look at him as the role model of a man and as a leader? No, I won't. But you've got to give it to him in this way. He has figured out so beautifully how to talk to people who just tune out what sounds to them like elitist phonyism. I think part of the reason you see 23, whatever it is now, Democrats running in the primary is because the Democratic Party hasn't found somebody who can do the same thing the same way the president can. You know, I watched, did you see Beto last night?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you watch Beto O'Rourke, who's an impressive guy, right? A young congressman, former congressman, articulate, charismatic. And my heartstrings pull at some of the answers he gives. But at the same time, I feel like the answers he's giving me are answers he rehearsed relentlessly.
Sure.
So that he would give them to me and I would like them.
The off-the-cuff thing that Trump does in the relation to people that he would normally cross the street to avoid is fascinating to me. Having said that, in a country that is supposed to have three co-equal branches to keep an eye on each other, and by the way, I don't think the Founding Fathers didn't have that discussion, and one of those co-equal branches, Congress, is failing so miserably, is outrageous. I don't know if you've seen Tom Steyer's new commercial that he's running, where Democratic voters are saying, what's the deal? We raised money. We voted. You told us, the report's out. It's obvious what happened, and you do nothing? That's the thing that that amazes me, that the Democrats are so busy finding more presidential candidates that they're just going to go, well, we're going to wait it out. We're going to wait it out till next fall. You know, regardless of the outcome and regardless of Senate being controlled by Republicans, there's a responsibility, a constitutional responsibility, that the Democrats are completely abdicating.
So I'll give you that. I think the abdication, though, is less on whether or not he should be impeached and more on how they handle their oversight responsibility. And I think part of the problem with being a good oversight balance is that so much talk about impeachment or don't impeach ruins it by making it a political argument. I thought Bernie Sanders in his town hall, and again, I haven't watched all of these, so I can't judge these candidates equally. I thought Bernie Sanders gave a really good answer about this. He's like, Democrats have got to be about something other than how awful we feel this guy is.
Absolutely.
And, you know, how we feel like he probably shouldn't be president. I think anybody who's going to vote in the Democratic primary already knows that. So, you know, you get into the oversight. What exactly is this administration doing? You remember when people used to talk about Trump early in the early days, they'd say, watch what he does. He creates a public fury over a nothing issue better than anybody so that no one will talk about the substantive issue where he's trying to push something through.
Oh, yeah, he's the king of distraction. I mean, you know, if he'd been selling snake oil in the late 19th century, he probably would have been the king of that as well. I got to talk to you about a couple other things, and you got to continue to save the world, so stand by. Nick Zitzen is with us again. For lack of a better label, I mean, sure, he's got a great job at SAP, Senior Vice President, Head of Communications Office, of the CEO, but I'm going to continue to make him the smartest guy to call in the show.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
I thought you were just going to say Wally Phillips' son-in-law.
No.
That would have been good. That was good.
That's not bad.
Can you play some more piano?
I might do that on the way back in. Yeah.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
This all in an online course. Since I'm playing this part with my left hand, and this is the right.
Oh, the Toto.
A lot of people say I tinkle well. Nick Zitzen is Senior Vice President, Head of Communications, Office of the CEO at SAP. And we got just a couple minutes here, Nick. But doesn't this all come down to math? Because we keep talking about the base for the Democrats, the base for the Republicans, blah, blah, friggin' blah. If people actually got off their behinds and voted, the base wouldn't matter.
You know, I still believe the base doesn't matter except in the nominating process. I mean, you got 23 candidates running, right? So just math becomes an issue when you're trying to figure out what's my path to get the number of delegates I need to win a nomination. It's also true on the Republican side, although probably not next year. In the general election, I'm with you. Look at Obama. I mean, Obama defied any electoral map. A compelling candidate always will.
100 million people didn't vote last time. Do you subscribe to my theory? If you don't vote, don't bitch.
Yeah, well, I think there's probably 95 of those 100 million who are complaining fairly loudly now, so they didn't listen.
You think we'll get record turnout?
I honestly think... it depends on what happens on the Democratic side. I mean, you remember part of what happened last time is that the Democrats never reconciled the fundamental disagreement between the Hillary Clinton wing of the Democratic Party right. And the Bernie Sanders wing. So if you come out with, you know, a splinter that goes even in more directions than that and they can't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, then you'll have the same problem.
And as you said, it cannot be about how bad Trump is. It's got to be about something aspirational for the country. Hillary Clinton was a terrible candidate. She wasn't aspirational. She was, it's my turn. And that's probably as much of anything a reason why people chose not to vote for her, because I heard so many people go, well, try this guy. Well, okay, yeah. We tried and it didn't work out. Nick, I hope you'll agree to do the show more often from now on. I know how busy you are, but wherever you are in the world, we'd love to have you on.
I miss you, Steve, anytime.
Thank you, my friend. Same to you. That's Nick Zitzen. He's the best. And he is the smartest guy to be on the show.
That's pretty cool.
By the way, John, that includes you. Back with the news in a moment from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.